Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be in God's Word with you all. We'll be in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 through 29. To paint a picture of just how amazing this book is and the power of freedom, one of my best friends was a missionary with the Billy Graham team, and he spent 7 years with the Eskimos of Alaska, and he would go village to village. He would fly in, and he really wanted to be like Jesus as a missionary, and he would post up all the commandments. He would post the Beatitudes, and he'd look at the mirror every morning. He'd be like, all right, I need to be humble. I need to mourn for those who are hurting. I need to, you know, I just really need to be like Jesus in everything that he did. And the more he tried to be like Jesus, the more frustrated he got, because he started to see how much he's not like Jesus. And finally, one day, he just grabbed those notes on the mirror and he threw them down. He said, I can't be like you, Jesus. And then he just felt God speak to him. You can't be like me, but you can follow me. There's a big difference in being like Jesus and following Jesus. Nobody in here is going to probably bring a dead person back from the grave. Nobody's going to go tell a hurricane to stop. I would wager most of you aren't going to have a healing ministry in your life. And so trying to be like Jesus and follow all the rules perfectly, it's impossible. Nobody can do it, but we can all follow Jesus because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's painting this picture, how following Christ through the Spirit by faith is so much better, and it actually sets you free and applies to our life today. Tim Keller said this. He asked two helpful questions to show how the law and relating to God based on law might actually wreck your life. And these are two questions you can ask yourself. First, what causes despair in your life? What causes you to beat yourself up, to condemn yourself, to say you're not good enough? And I recently ran into a college kid, and he was extremely depressed. Actually, in the point where he's considering maybe taking his life. And you know why he was so depressed as we started to talk and I got to the root of it? He said, I have a twin brother, and he's just so much better than me at everything, and I feel like I'm a failure and a letdown, and if I drop out of this degree program, I'm just going to let everybody down. And I'm like, bro, you're under the law. You don't need to compare yourself to your brother. Stop. When you start thinking of comparison with your brother, just stop. And you need to know your parents love you, God loves you, and you don't need to prove to the world that you're as good as your brother. Stop doing it. God made you differently. He loves you because you believe in Jesus. He was under the law. Second, what makes you feel proud? That's what Tim Keller asked. What makes you puff up your chest a little bit? I'm not talking about feeling accomplished, but being arrogant that you're better than somebody else or you've arrived. I listened to a podcast last week, and it talked about a church planter. And guess what? His first church gathering, there were 200 people. 200 people showed up the first time, and he was like, man, I did it. I arrived. I must have done a really good job. And then guess what? Next week, 80 people showed up, and then it kept shrinking, and he was so discouraged because his identity was tied up in how successful he was. And that's what the law will do to you, and that's what was at stake with these people. When you're under the law, your joy's at stake, your relationships are at stake, your finances are at stake, because if you think you have to prove yourself, you'll ruin the people closest to you, you'll hurt the people you love, and you'll be really unwise with your time, your treasure, and your talents. And so Paul is saying, I want to set you free to live the life that God has called you to live. And so Paul's going to start by talking about the purpose of the law in creation and the purpose of the law with Israel and then with us, the church. Before we jump into God's word, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you've revealed to us your Son, that we can't fulfill the law. We can't be like Jesus. I know we need to model him and follow him, but we thank you, Christ, that it is finished, that you fulfilled the law, and now you give us your Spirit, and you call us to follow you and to continually be transformed into your image. But we thank you, Jesus, that this is done by faith, not by works. I pray you bless us, you give us eyes to see, and that you would speak to us this evening. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to look at point one, and we're going to look at why the law. So let's look at verses 19 and 20. Paul says this, why then the law? It was added because of sin and transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise has been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary, Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Now, at first glance, that is a very confusing passage, so I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible. But why was the law given? First, to protect Israel, because we need to know right from wrong. We need to know what's good, what's bad. To give you guys an example, I worked on an Indian reservation, and did you know that one of their core values is stealing? Before laws showed up in a lot of North America, it was actually an honorable thing to steal from people. What do you think that does to relationships and families and society if everyone thinks stealing is good? It's going to cause widespread family brokenness and dysfunction and war. And so when the law would come to many of these Native Americans, a mission back home, they were like, this is amazing. These are the laws that we need to have a healthy, functioning family and society. See, without good laws, things go south really fast. You guys have all heard of the classic The Lord of the Flies, right? Just put a bunch of kids on an island with no laws. And yeah, what's going to happen? They're going to be like a pack of wolves, and the strongest is going to rise to the top, and it's not going to be a very productive, healthy, functional society, right? We actually need good laws, and we benefit from them. My wife did a mission trip to Afghanistan for 6 weeks, and she was sharing some of the laws even that they had there. Women not being allowed to be educated. If you showed your skin as a woman in public, you could get beaten by a crowd in front of everybody. So tremendous fear on women, and they were extremely anxious and depressed. And so the application here, Paul is showing us, we should have good laws. And those are questions that we should even ask in our families, in our workplace. If there's a law that's really dumb and it's just a tradition, it's okay to question, is this actually helpful? Because we actually need good laws as a family, as businesses, as churches, and societies. And what I see happening in America, we're getting rid of good laws, we're putting in bad laws, things are getting crazy, all right? But Paul is saying, the law is actually really good. We need it. We need to know what's right and wrong. And how he uses this word mediator, and he's talking about Moses on the mountain. So you need to remember, when Moses went up onto the mountain, there was a tradition that nobody could see God face to face. And this is biblical, because remember when Moses said, God, I want to see your face. God said, no, you can only see the back of me. I'll let you see the train of my robe, and I'm going to have to hide you in the cleft of this rock. And so nobody could talk to God face to face. So he's saying it was the angel of the Lord that Moses actually had a conversation with. Just like Joshua, he ran into the angel of the Lord. Just like Moses at the burning bush, it was the angel of the Lord who was representing God. Because if we saw God in this form, we would perish face to face. That's why we need a new body, so we can be in the presence of the Lord. But this is why the New Testament is better. This is what John 1 says. It says, God actually became a man so we could look at him face to face. It's way better than the Old Testament. Paul's making this argument that the New Covenant is way better than the Old Covenant because it actually changes your life. If you read Isaiah chapter 6 and you hear these stories of what heaven looks like, it's terrifying. Any man who was in the presence of God would fall down and basically say, Lord, I'm done. Just kill me. I can't be here. But God comes as a baby, as a man, and he actually looks people in the eyes and he touches them. This is the amazing power of the New Testament, that God is entering into our lives to save us. I want you guys to think of the man Zacchaeus. Just to give you an example, a tax collector, wealthy, he could do whatever he wanted, and he wanted to see what Jesus was doing. He's a short man, so he climbed up in a tree to see God. And God noticed the man in the tree, walked up to him. Can you imagine that? Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, throw a party for me, let's hang out. And I imagine at some point Jesus laid his hand on Zacchaeus and told him that he loves him. And then we know how that changed Zacchaeus. Face to face with the God who made him. What did it do to Zacchaeus' heart? It says anyone he wronged, he wouldn't give him back what he took. Can you imagine you're at your house one day, the door knocks, and you like look through the window and you're like, oh no, it's Zacchaeus, hide, right? He's coming to take more. And he opens the door and he's like, here, I have a bag of gold for you. I know I wronged you. What happened, Zacchaeus? I saw God face to face. He loves me. And that's the power of the new covenant, that God can actually change us, that God can touch us. So in conclusion to this first point, under Moses, God had to recruit angels to be with us. We would be destroyed. We can't be in his presence. He'd kill us. But in the new covenant, God himself comes to us as a man so that we can receive his spirit. And that is one of the reasons Paul's making why the new covenant is so much better. Don't go back to works of the law. Isn't this amazing? We can see God face to face. All right, we're going to look at point two here in verse 21 and 22, which is this. The law doesn't just show us what we ought to do. It shows us what God demands, but it also reveals how we fall short. Just like my missionary friend, the more he tried to follow the law, the more he saw that he can't be perfect. So let's read in 21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And so what Paul is saying there, once again, he's saying the law is really good, but it doesn't have the power to make us good. What does the law do in a society? It brings order, but it doesn't really make bad people good. It makes bad people know that if they mess up, there will be consequences, and they know if they get caught, they're going to go to jail. So the law actually is good for a society. It actually can bring order, but does it have the power to change someone? I'm going to argue not. I look at it when I'm in Wyoming in the middle of nowhere and I see a speed limit sign that says 70. It doesn't give me the power to drive 70. I'm bored and I want to get home. And so I go, 81 probably, right? I got pulled over and got a ticket for the first time. And I know why. It's because I had Colorado plates. I've had 10 warnings in Wyoming. They always give me a warning, but now I have Colorado plates. But what I'm saying is the law cannot give you the power to become righteous. To give you a good example, I adopted a Bernese Mountain Dog from the Ackermans. And he's kind of a stinker, right? He likes to run away. He likes to explore. So if you leave a gate open, he'll just go say hi to the neighbors, walk around the neighborhood. And he went and got picked up by the dog pound. He was wandering around the park. I had to go pick him up. $250 fine. I was a little bit upset, but he's a good dog. But I want you guys to think of the law like that. If you ask a dog to follow man-made laws, they can't do it. Asking my dog Hudson to follow all of our rules, he can't. It's impossible for him to follow my laws. That's why he needs a fence, he needs gates, he needs all kinds of laws. He literally doesn't have the nature to be a human. And in the same way, we as humans, we don't have the nature to follow the law perfectly because we have a sin nature. We actually fall short and we can't do it. And that's why Jesus comes to free us. So the law shows us the way, but it does not give us the power to get there. One way you can think of it, the law is the steering wheel to the vehicle, but the gospel is the motor and the power and the gasoline to actually get where you need to go. All right, let's look at verses 23 through 29. It says, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." And this is a very amazing, powerful verse that has so many applications in our life today. And so what Paul is saying, the law is good for a season of your life. When you have little kids, you need laws in your house, right? Or it's going to be Lord of the Flies, and your kids are going to take over, and you're going to be some very miserable parents, right? It's actually good for a season to be under your parents' laws. But is the goal as a parent that your kids would still live in your house at the age of 30 and still follow the same rules? All right, it's 8 o'clock. That means it's bedtime. And you need to get your toothbrush and you need to be in bed by this time. Can you imagine still having to do that with your kids all the days of their life? Yeah, and so this is a good point, though. This is actually I was reading the Wall Street Journal, and it said there's an epidemic going on right now. It's actually, they're saying worse than COVID. It's that young men are not able to go out on their own. And an interesting statistic, even at CSU, 67% of college students are women now. Men are having trouble going. Now, that one of the reasons could be also is college is really expensive and you can't get a great job from it anymore. So that's one of the things. But what they're finding, this is a quote from the Wall Street Journal. It says, social science researchers cite distractions and obstacles to education that weigh more on boys and young men, including video games, pornography, and increased fatherlessness, has boys in such a state that they can't leave their house. They don't understand the difference between law and promise. They don't understand what's going on. So what is Paul saying? He's saying a good parent does this, teaches the kids all the laws growing up, teaches them the benefits of obeying it. But then the goal is for that kid to go out and leave for a season. Why? So that someday they can have the character and the wisdom to receive the inheritance. So they can actually take all that you have and it doesn't destroy them, right? If I gave my 5-year-old my inheritance right now, it would not be good. Here's my 38 special, okay, Hattie? This is a revolver. I'm going to be gone. It would not be good to give her a weapon at this age. Many children have been ruined by parents just giving them $1 million at a young age, right? We see all these stories of these child actors, and they have all this fame and all this wealth at a young age, and what does it do? Absolutely shipwrecks their life. And so what Paul is saying, the law is good for a season. Just like the law was good for Israel, the law was good for God's people, but that was never the goal. The goal was for God's people to go out, and it's going to be a struggle. When you leave your parents' house, it's not easy. It's hard. Why is it hard? You have to walk by faith. You have to trust God that He'll provide. You have to trust God that He'll give you a job. You'll have to trust God He'll give you relationships. You actually have to walk by faith. But you don't need faith if you just live in your parents' basement for the rest of your life, right? That's the point that Paul is making. You need to get out and you need to walk by faith and trust God. And so this is something that America really needs to understand. But we don't talk about inheritance anymore. We don't talk about wisdom. We don't talk about character. We don't even care about family as a culture anymore. It's all about me and my resume. We're not trying to build a legacy of family anymore. That's not a priority. But in these days in the Bible, in the Eastern culture, it was really important what your family did, having a family name, carrying on your family business, because that's what protected your family. And men needed to have wisdom and character, which only the Holy Spirit can give you through experience and through time. To give you an application of this, it's another Hudson story, okay? When I lived up by Horsetooth Mountain, I put a big fence around this half-acre property. And why do we put fences around for dogs? Because we don't trust them, right? If Hudson gets out, you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know where he's going to go, and it costs you a lot of money. So he needs laws. He needs boundaries, right? But when you come to Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus didn't say, all right, guys, stay here forever and just follow my commandments. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? He said, go out from here, make disciples of all nations and go where I'm calling you to go. Teach everyone to obey the teachings of Jesus. So the law is like a fence that keeps you in, and it's good for a season. But now God actually trusts us. Why? Because He's given us His nature and His Spirit, and He calls us to take steps of faith to go out from beyond that so that we can advance the gospel and invite people into the family of God. Now, this is revolutionary language when you look at verse 28. When you think of the Roman Empire saying, oh yeah, by the way, this inheritance that God will give you, it's available for men and women. You know, back then, for the most part in the Roman Empire, to be a landowner or to have a name, you had to be a man. And now all of a sudden you're coming to women and saying, oh yeah, you will receive this inheritance too. It was mind-blowing. That's why when you look at many of the names in Acts and Romans and the end of the letters, most of them are women. They're like, this is amazing news. I get to be a part of the family of God. And it gets even better. God says to the slaves, those who are in oppressive work environments under a master, God said, this inheritance is even for you. And that's why this religion took off in the Roman Empire. And the emperors tried to stop it. But the more they tried to stop it, the more it grew. Until finally Constantine bowed the knee and said, okay, we just have to accept this as our religion. And that is the power and the freedom of the gospel. That we are all children of God. We all have responsibility. And think of it like this. God wants us to grow in character. He wants us to grow in wisdom because he wants us to receive the inheritance. And those are good things to wrestle with. If God gave you everything right now, could you handle it? Or would it wreck you? Do you need to grow in character? Do you need to grow in wisdom? What steps of faith do you need to take? And as parents today, I think these are good things to wrestle with, good things to talk about. Don't release your kids too early. What happens? They get eaten and spit and chewed up by the world. But if you release your kids too late, they might live in your basement forever. Watch out, Chad, okay? And this is what God wants to do with us. He is the perfect father. He came at just the right time. He is going to be our shepherd. He is the vine dresser. He will prune us, and he will send us out. Because like any good dad, his greatest desire is to give us his inheritance and give us his spirit. And this is why the gospel is so much better than following a bunch of rules. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are our older brother and you did what we can't do. And we thank you, God, that you love us so much that you want us to go out. You want us to take steps of faith. You want us to grow in character. You want us to grow in wisdom. Because your heart is to give us your kingdom, to give us your inheritance, something so much greater than this world could ever offer. And so, Jesus, I want to pray for all of us in here that we have a right view of the law, that we love the law, we cherish the law, we teach the law, but we also realize that the law is not what makes us righteous. The law is not what grows us, but it's your spirit that transforms us. I pray you bless us this week, God, especially for the parents in here, God, that we can raise our children, that they can walk by faith someday, God, that they don't have to depend on us forever, but they would learn to trust you, God, and to depend on you. And I pray for us in here too, God, where we need to walk by faith, that we could receive your kingdom, even now, God, to whatever degree that is. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we got one more worship song, and then we'll close with a benediction.
Hopefully, y'all remember this one. This is a really fun thing. Just reminding us that God is our creator and our ruler.
Confession to make. You know, when I got done with college, I moved in with my parents for a year, and it was awesome. My mom cooked for me, she cleaned for me, and then my dad kicked me out. But you know what? I had to grow up then, so I'm thankful for it. So this is from Galatians 5:13. It says this: "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Have a blessed week.